Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, he'll share truth that is written in stone.
God is an awesome God. He is a God to be feared. And see, the fear of the Lord is not, The fear of the Lord is, wow, God. And you're very careful around God. Just like if you're working on electricity, live electricity, you're not afraid of electricity, but you're very careful with electricity because you know, hey, if I just grab onto this, it could fry me. You don't mess around with God. You don't treat God like he's an old shoe. You fear him.
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today, and welcome to the beginning of a brand new series from Pastor Jeff called Written in Stone, a study of the Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments were, in fact, written in stone by the very finger of God and are the most important pieces of religious literature the world has ever seen. These commandments are critical for a society to function and flourish. Some people don't want anyone to tell them what to do, not even God. And God is the intended subject of our first commandment and the first message in this new 10-message series. The lesson is entitled, God Alone. Now, it will take us the entire month to complete this study. If you miss any, you can listen again online once they've aired when you go to fromhisheart.org. Or get the entire series in the format of your choice today for a gift of any amount to From His Heart this month. Again, go online to make that gift and receive the entire series. Now, though, open your Bible to Exodus chapter 20. Here's Pastor Jeff to begin the lesson, God Alone.
It has well been said that the Ten Commandments are one of the most, if not the most, important pieces of religious literature the world has ever known. But you know, there are people that don't like the Ten Commandments. Why is that? Because they don't want anyone to tell them what to do, not even God. Ran across some quotes this morning as I was preparing this message and finishing up with it. Alan Dershowitz, the Harvard legal scholar, said that the Ten Commandments don't belong in the hearts and minds of contemporary Americans. Liberal theologian John Shelby Spong called the Ten Commandments immoral. And Richard Dawkins, the famous atheist who wrote The God Delusion, he said, well, the Ten Commandments are just weird. Let me just tell you, the Ten Commandments are not weird or immoral or irrelevant or harmful. They're critical for a society to function and to flourish. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 10 says that God wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger. And if some of you have seen, many of us, seen the old movie, The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, we know that when God spoke to Moses on the mountain and wrote on the mountain, well, it was the finger of God, but his voice came out in fire and etched the Ten Commandments on those two tablets of stone. The Ten Commandments weren't written in pencil on a piece of paper. They're not written in the sand subject to erasure or erosion. They're etched in stone. And you know, if people would keep the Ten Commandments, just think about that. If society, our society in America, if we kept the Ten Commandments, you'd have no need for security systems. You'd have no need for locks on your doors. The police would have virtually nothing to do. Courts would have very few cases to try. There would be no sexual immorality. There would be no theft. There would be no murder. We would keep the Ten Commandments and we would love God and love people. Now, some people get the wrong idea about the Ten Commandments. They think the Ten Commandments are like a prison. to punish us. God gives us these commandments and he puts us in this prison. But they're not like a prison to punish us. They're like traffic laws to protect us. Can you imagine what it would be like to drive and there are no traffic laws? There are no stop signs, yield signs, stop lights, and you can drive any speed you want? It's almost like driving in Mexico City. Have you ever been to Mexico City? That's the way the people drive. You're scared to death. You're just white-knuckling it the whole time you're there. When I was in China with Jay Budzalowski and Matt Landers, it was raining, and our taxi cab, you know, China, once I got past the word hello, I'm done. I didn't have any other words that I could come up with in Chinese, but he was driving really fast, and it's raining, and we're on the freeway, and he's texting. And I hit his seat, and I said, "None of that. Put the phone away." And he got the message, because I thought, we are going to die. We need traffic laws, and the Ten Commandments are laws that God gives us to protect us. So today, we want to start with commandment number one, Exodus chapter 20. It says, "Then God spoke all these words, saying, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me.'" What do we learn from the first of the Ten Commandments? The very first commandment teaches us three important truths about God. Truth number one, God is the awesome God. We sing that song sometimes. Our God is an awesome God, and God is the awesome God. Now, you got to get the picture when God gave the Ten Commandments. They were the people of God had come out of Egypt, come through the Red Sea. It was 3 months from leaving Egypt that they got to Mount Sinai, where they received the law of God. And they are gathered, the people are gathered at the foot of the mountain, Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, here's a picture of it, just to give you an idea of what we're talking about. That's what most theologians say, that's probably where it was, in the mountain in the Sinai Peninsula, Mount Sinai. And Moses would go up and down. He came up and down that mountain, as I researched that yesterday, seven times, some say eight, but probably seven times, because he'd go up to God and then he'd go back down to the people, then go up and bring the answer from the people to God, then he'd go back down to the people. Then he had two times where he stayed up there for 40 days. That's when he got the two tablets. The first time he went up for 40 days, he got the two tablets. Remember, he comes back down and they're already breaking all the commandments and worshiping an idol. He breaks the two tablets of stone. Well, then he intercedes for the people, goes back up, intercedes for the people, and he's up there another 40 days, and God gives him two tablets written by the finger of God because of the ones he shattered. But here they are in Exodus 20, and they're gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai. All of Israel is there. We get the idea from the movie, The Ten Commandments, that God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses alone. He didn't. He gave it to all the people. They heard the voice of God. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, and he's recounting to the people, Moses is, in the book of Deuteronomy, "Then the Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but you saw no form, only a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. That is the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on two tablets of stone." Now the people heard the voice of God. They didn't see a form, but they heard the voice of God. And they saw all that came with the voice of God on Mount Sinai, because the Lord descended on it in a cloud, and there was fire, and there was thick smoke, and there was an earthquake, and there was thunder, and there were lightning flashes. And they trembled before the Lord. They were scared to death. We know this is true, because it says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, when the Lord finished speaking, and all the people perceive the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but let not God speak to us lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you and in order that the fear of him may remain with you so that you may not sin. Don't be afraid of God, but fear God. And that's how it starts out as they're receiving these commands from the voice of God. It starts out with fear and trepidation and trembling because God is an awesome God, a fear-producing God. And right off the bat, we learn that God is a God to be feared. He's not a God to be trifled with. He's not a God to be overlooked. He is a God to be feared. Not to be afraid of, but to be feared, to be revered, to consider him as the most valuable, worthy. And see, the fear of the Lord is not, The fear of the Lord is, wow, God. And you're very careful around God, just like if you're working on electricity, live electricity. You're not afraid of electricity, but you're very careful with electricity because you know, hey, if I just grab onto this, it could fry me. People have done that with the Lord. Nadab and Abihu, the nephews of Moses, they burned strange fire before the Lord. Leviticus chapter 10, what happened to them? Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them. You don't mess around with God. You don't treat God like he's an old shoe. You fear him. He is to be feared. Now, the sad reality is we have lost the fear of the Lord. We've lost the awesomeness of God. Deuteronomy 10:17 says, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. That is God. He is awesome, which means fear producing. Our God is a consuming fire. It is a terrifying thing, it says in the book of Hebrews, to fall into the hands of the living God. And the fear of the Lord, as Moses pointed out to the people, don't be afraid of God, but fear God. You said that seems like a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. So if I'm afraid of God, I'm never going to get close to God because I'm just going to, I hear God coming. I'm going to be like Adam and Eve. I'm going to head for the hills and hide myself because you don't want to get near God. You know, God, you got to be afraid of God. He's like bad Leroy Brown, and I want to get away from him. That God doesn't want you to be like that. He wants you to come to him, but he wants you to stand in awe of him, give him the ultimate, utmost respect. And the scripture says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. By the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. And so we are to fear him. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, after he goes through this search for satisfaction, that's what the book of Ecclesiastes is. He says at the end, the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For the Lord will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. You know, the weakest ink is better than the best memory. That's so true. So we are to fear God. It's the beginning point of everything. And so he was teaching his people right off the bat, you fear me because I am an awesome God. The big problem in America is we have lost the fear of God. Transgression, Psalm 36, verse 1. Transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. And that's the world we live in today. That's the country we live in today. No fear of God. You see these videos of people just coming into stores and just pulling items off the clothes rack or out of the freezers or whatever. I'm just going to take anything I want. I'm just going to walk out. What are you going to do about it? And our laws are such that, well, you can't prosecute if it's under $2,000. And so that's just like a green light for everybody to steal. And they don't care who sees them. And they don't care that God sees them. And they're going to have to give an account on the day of judgment. All those things don't go unnoticed. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Proverbs 15, verse 3. Years ago, I heard a story about a Christian school. And the kids were going through the cafeteria line. And at the right at the start of the line, there was a big bowl of apples. And it says, please take one. God is watching. And they went through the line and got their food. And at the end of the line was a big plate of cookies. And somebody wrote the note, take as many as you want. God's watching the apples. And we had this idea that, okay, God doesn't see what I'm doing over here. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. And God does see. The song of Moses is given in Revelation chapter 15. And in the song of Moses, this is what they sing. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. The person who does not fear God is a fool to the highest magnitude. Because our God is a consuming fire, and it is indeed a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So that's the first truth that we learn from the beginning of the Ten Commandments. Our God is an awesome God. Second truth, not only is God the awesome God, but God is the only God. The only God. He says, you shall have no other gods, little g, before me. God is the only God, no other gods besides me, no other gods alongside of me, literally no other gods before my face. Isaiah 46, verse 9 and following, for I am God, the Lord says, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. God is the only God. When Jehoshaphat was praying and asking the Lord, King Hezekiah, when he was asking the Lord to intercede because the Assyrians were coming against Judah, he prayed and said, oh God, the Lord, the only God, will you not save us? You're the only one, and God is the only God. Now, there are many false gods, but just one true God. And see, the Jews, as they came out of Egypt, well, they were born in Egypt. They had spent their whole lives in Egypt. What did they learn in Egypt? Lots of gods. And the plagues, as we preached just a couple years ago, the plagues that God brought on the Egyptians, they were aimed at their gods. And the Lord was showing, you know, as Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice? And God says, well, I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to introduce myself to you, Mr. Pharaoh. And he went after Pharaoh and all the gods. And the last god was Pharaoh himself. Pharaoh fancied himself a god. And when God killed the firstborn, Pharaoh couldn't do anything about it. And God was showing, I am the only God. But the people, they knew about all these false gods. And they knew that these gods were worshiped. And no doubt the gods had, these false gods, they had some demonic power associated with them. And so the people were kind of conditioned that way. And they were getting ready to go into the promised land. And what did you have in the promised land? Everybody's a pagan in the promised land. Everybody's worshiping false gods. They're worshiping Baal. Baal is the fertility god. And Baal has a girlfriend, a female consort, the Asherah. And so Baal and his female consort, they get together and they're the fertility god. And how did you worship that god? You worship that god with sexual immorality. That's why they had the temple prostitutes. And you would say, well, I got to go to church. And what do you do at church? You have sex with a temple prostitute because that somehow connects you to Baal. And then you would have fertility in your family, in your flocks, and in your herds. They're all farmers. And so that was the worship in Canaan. And God says, you don't have anything to do with those people and with what they're doing. That's why I'm casting them out of the land. So there are many false gods, but there's only one true God. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods, so-called gods, and many lords, so-called lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, for whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. Lots of false gods, but there's only one true God, and there's only one God we are to worship and serve. Remember what Satan said to Jesus? All the kingdoms of the world have been given to me, and I can give them to whomever I wish, and I'll give them to you, Jesus, if you'll just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, it is written, you shall worship God only, and him only shall you serve. We worship and serve God alone. Now, people today say, well, you know, we're not like those people way back when in ancient Israel. We don't worship Baal. We don't have these idols. We don't have some totem pole that we worship. No, we're more sophisticated. We worship money. That's the American idol. People worship money and materialism. We worship pleasure. We worship sports. And we worship celebrities. And we worship family, you know, that starts getting close to home. Well, are we supposed to love our family? Yes, we don't worship our family. We worship the Lord and him alone. And for many people, you know who they worship? They worship themselves. And life is all about me.
Me, me, me. Do you know people like that? In many ways, all of us have a lot of me, me, me in us, and we worship things and flawed people rather than our Creator God. You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and today he began the new series, Written in Stone, a study of the Ten Commandments, and the message about the first commandment today is entitled, God Alone. You know, the truth is that when our public schools across America removed the Ten Commandments from the classroom walls, they hindered the moral training of students, some of whom would otherwise not be exposed at all to these essential moral statutes given to the world by God. Like the first commandment we're studying today, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. But this and nine other commandments need to be shouted from the rooftops and planted into the hearts of our children, in our homes, and everywhere. You, yourself, can start by learning the deeper meanings of these Ten Commandments with Pastor Jeff's new 10-message series, Written in Stone, a study of the Ten Commandments, that we began today. This rich and enlightening series is our gift of thanks to you for your support from His Heart this month of any amount. And you can receive it in the format of your choice, on a USB flash drive, CDs, DVDs, or an immediate digital download. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE to make your gift. Or simply go online to fromhisheart.org. And when you make that gift, we'll send you the series, Written in Stone, a study of the Ten Commandments. Thank you for your gift today, and we trust that you'll be blessed by this study. Well, thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be right back here on Thursday when Pastor Jeff Shreve continues to examine the first commandment given to us by God in part two of the lesson, God Alone. That's when we'll again open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve. speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.